Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Our text we've looked at is Psalms 121, 1 and 2. Lift up your eyes. Is that there? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We talked about that lifting up our eyes. It's not lifting up our physical eyes. It's really the eyes of our heart is what we begin to see. And we talked about what we see. What we see impacts us. How we see. And boy, we can jump into all kind of areas. I think this is a fascinating subject because how you see yourself, it matters. How you see yourself and where your placement is in life, that matters. How you see God matters. How you see the Lord Jesus. And I want to give you some examples of that tonight. We've been talking about that. But I want to show you, I call this a tale of two cities. And one was helped. It was Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. It was in Mark chapter 6. Then he, this is Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could there, I want you to catch that. Do you see what that reads? He could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about in the villages in a circuit teaching. Would you leave it up there just for a second? I looked up that word could, because when you first see that, you know, Jesus could do no mighty work there. So I looked it up, and every other translation says the same thing. In the Old Testament, it talked about how they limited God. And here in his hometown, they limited him. So let's talk a little bit about what happened to Jesus, because you know he wanted to bless the people in his hometown. The challenge was that they saw Jesus as a carpenter. He had grown up there, and they had known him. Maybe he fixed a table for them, or maybe he built something for them. And so they're accustomed to seeing Jesus as a carpenter. You do remember that for the first 30 years of his life, he's not preaching. He's the carpenter. He's there. And until he was baptized by John in the River Jordan and then baptized with the Holy Spirit that came upon him at that time, there were no miracles that were taking place. I know sometimes people say, "Oh, Jesus was doing miracles when he was a young boy and he was healing doves and dogs." No, it's not true. Because he didn't do any miracles until he was anointed by the Spirit of God. And if he'd been doing miracles when he showed up in his hometown, they'd have been happy. "Hey, the little miracle worker's back." But that's not the story. He shows up in his hometown, and instead, they were looking at him like with their arms folded. You ever talk to somebody that got their arms folded like this, looking at you? Well, they're offended. They said, "This is the carpenter." And they begin to question, "How does he have this wisdom? I mean, where did he get this wisdom? He's not a scribe. He's not a teacher. Where did he get this wisdom? How's he working all these miracles?" And then they got offended at him. They never saw Jesus beyond the natural physical aspects of his life. They saw that he was a carpenter. They said, "Hey, his brothers," he had four brothers and at least two sisters. And they're like, "I work with his sister at Walmart. I mean, what's going on? But it answers a question. Now, here's something. I don't have a show of hands, but if any of you realize sometimes it's difficult to reach family members, and you're excited about the Lord, and you go home, and you're like, "Man, the Lord's done something." They're looking at you like, "Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." Sometimes your friends are like, no, I know you. I know you. There's no way you're a Christian. No way. But oftentimes the people that knew us in that light have a hard time receiving us as anything different. He said, well, what do you do then? What do you do with family? Because I'm trying to reach my family. The best thing you can do for family is live in such a way that they can't refute your witness. You see, that then, then you won't have to shove Jesus down their throat every Thanksgiving. Because after a while, they don't want to hear about it. But if you live in such a way that they can't argue with it, then when something happens in their life, you're the one that gets the late night call. And they're saying, hey, my daughter's sick. Would you pray for her? Hey, I got a situation here. Could you help? And so you just want to live in such a way. Because a lot of times they're not going to listen to you. Now, some will. But, you know, it was very difficult, I know, for my parents to see me as a pastor. I was their little boy. You know, parents look at you kind of like, I changed your diaper. And so it takes a little maturity to be able to see not just the individual, but the gift of God in the individual. And this is what Jesus' hometown did not. They didn't see him that way. And so they were offended at him. And they did this, and there was no honor and respect for him as a prophet, and they couldn't do any mighty miracles there. He could not. The Bible said he laid his hands on a few sickly people and healed them. And so often unbelief is a function of how they saw Jesus. They did not see a prophet. They did not see a miracle worker. They certainly didn't see the Son of God. They saw a guy that they grew up with. They saw someone different, and how they saw it impacted what they were able to receive from him. Now you're saying, what does that have to do with me? Stay with me just for a second, because I'm going to give you a contrast. Because how you see the Lord is going to make a real big difference in terms of what he can do in your life. Now, same chapter of Mark. I love this. This is in the same chapter. Same chapter, Mark 6. Let's read this. When they crossed over the lake, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they, this is Jesus and the disciples, came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran throughout that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they just might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Now that, guys, is a miracle. There are miracles busting out left and right. And it's the same Jesus. It's not like he got empowered crossing the lake. It's not like he came to the land of Gennesaret and goes, I'm here, let's have a miracle time. But when he got out of the boat, immediately they recognized him. But they did not recognize him as a carpenter. They recognized him as a prophet and as a healer and as a miracle worker. And so they begin to see him that way. They got excited. They're like, he didn't have to work it. He hadn't even worked a miracle. It's not like he walked across the lake on the water and then got out. They'd all have been like, ooh. No, he just got out of the boat, but they're like, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's the one. That's one. That's the miracle worker. And then they're like, go get mama. Mama's been sick. We're going to drag mama out in the street. Mom ain't gonna like it. We're like, Mom, I don't want to get mama. Hush, mama. Jesus is in town. Jesus, listen. Well, I don't look good. It's not gonna stop for you. All you have to do, mama, when he comes by, is just touch the hem of his robe. That's all. You don't have to talk to him. He ain't gonna talk to you. If you touch him, you'll get well. Okay, take me out in the street. Come on, mama. We drag mama out and thump her down in the street. We're like, Jesus! They're running. They're, listen, you know if you're running, something good's going on. You got people running and they're dragging loved ones out and they're putting them in the marketplace. And then they went to Jesus and they're not even like, Jesus, I need you to stop and minister to mama. They're like, Jesus, you don't even need to do anything to mama. All you got to do is walk by. Just walk by and let mama touch your clothes. You don't have to touch her with your... Can you see this? Can you see how they see Jesus? They see him as a miracle work. This is going to be amazing. They're pumped up, man. They're dragging people all over the place. They're dragging, and as many as touched him were made well. Listen, Jesus had the same power in his hometown that he had there. The difference was how they saw him and what they received from him. Gosh, there's a minister that Matt and I used to listen to a lot. He's gone to heaven now. His name was T.L. Osborne. And T.L. was a missionary evangelist. And he would go into countries, into third world countries, and he would put on crusades. And there would hundreds of thousands of people would come. And T.L. Osborne told a minister one time, he said, I was never able to finish a single sermon over there. And he was never able to finish a sermon because he kept getting interrupted by people getting healed left and right. Because T.L. Osborne would go and preach that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that he healed at Gennesaret and he still heals today. And in countries where they had not heard of Jesus and all of a sudden they hear he's a healer, blind eyes are opening. People are getting out of wheelchairs. People are responding because no one had told them that Jesus doesn't heal anymore. So all these people, they were like the people of Gennesaret. They're like, he heals? Wonderful. I'm getting up. And off they go. And people were healed. He said, I never finished a sermon overseas because I got interrupted with all the people getting healed. You come in America? Mm-mm. He said in America, he said, I finish every sermon. He said, because we've been taught he heals sometimes, he doesn't heal, healing's passed away, healing's... How you see is what you receive. Now, here's something Now, you mentioned healing, or you mentioned getting filled with the Spirit, and you got some people immediately that will do this. Listen, if you don't want it, it ain't coming. But don't ever pour cold water on somebody who believes that Jesus can do amazing things. When Joy was so sick and she was deathly sick and it was touch and go with her, we actually had a Christian friend who would constantly tell Joy that healing has passed away and she shouldn't believe for healing and she just needed to suffer with what she had. And I finally refused to allow her to come to my house. Joy's too sweet, but I told Joy, I said, don't ever let her back in the door. I said, well, that's not too Christian. No, what's not Christian is a 30-year-old mother with three small children and someone telling her that Jesus is not a healer. If you don't believe Jesus is a healer, fine. But leave me alone because I still believe he is and I still believe he can do something. And you're too late to send me an email. It's too late. I've seen my children healed. I've seen my grandchildren healed. I've seen my wife healed. I've been healed. He's a healer. He still heals. He still fills with the Spirit. He still blesses people. He still leads people. He still gets involved. But if you don't see it, if you don't believe it, it's going to happen to you. Amen. And in the whole town of Gennesaret, they had a healing revival, man. It just busted out. Because they believed that Jesus was in town, and if Jesus was in town, all we got to do is touch the hem of his garment, we're going to be healed. And they were. So this is why I'm saying, now here's my next question. So how do you see Jesus? How do you see him? Is he a healer? Is he a helper? Is he neutral? Is he disinterested? How do you see him? And here's something. As I was just praying about this today, this just came up in my heart. And it's semi-connected, but listen to me on this. Beware of getting offended at the Lord. and offended at the Lord because maybe you prayed about something and it didn't happen, or it didn't happen the way you thought it should happen, or it hasn't happened yet. And it's easy, if you're not careful, you'll get offended at the Lord. Oh, you haven't rejected him, but you're kind of like... A lot of us have been there. I've been there. And here's what I figured out. If anyone's wrong, it's not him. And sometimes that's an humbling thing to take on. But if you could take that on, it'll help you quickly. And it'll help you make an adjustment. And I made an adjustment. Joy looked at me. I was talking about I had a problem with my eye. And man, I'm believing, and it was many of you remember it. It's just protruding. It was embarrassing. And I was just getting frustrated because I was believing for healing and it hadn't happened yet. And I remember Joy looked at me one time. She said, "You're offended." And I wanted to go, "Nuh-uh." But usually, I don't know about you, but usually when I go, "Nuh-uh," it's "uh-huh." And it caught me. And so this is what I'm saying. Listen, don't get offended at him. He's still your answer. Amen. He put it up at where it says about Jesus in John 10. The thief, Satan, comes to kill and to steal and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. He's still the good shepherd. Whether things turned out exactly like you wanted to or not, it hasn't changed him. He's still the good shepherd. And if you'll humble your heart, he'll help you understand. And for me, he helped me. And for me, for my eye, I had to get a surgery. But he prompted me to do it. And I got it done. It was successful. They had to go in behind my eye. They were telling me all the things that could go wrong. They said, "Do you want to know all the things that could go wrong?" I said, "No." I said, "Nope. I believe it's going to turn out good." So I didn't listen to all that stuff. And so they pretty much fixed my eye. But it was a good reminder to me that he's still the good shepherd. He can still lead. He can still guide. And there are things that may not have happened yet, but if you'll trust him, he can show you what to do. But you might have to go to him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I've been offended." Listen, I just told you about me. Don't look like you're... like, "Oh, we're innocent, Pastor. You got the problem, not us." You know, one of the best things you can ever do is just some kind of step up to the plate and go, "That's me, Lord. That's me." You know what he is, though? He's a good shepherd. He'll forgive you. Aren't you glad Jesus does not give you the silent treatment? I was thinking about that lately. There's a great psalm in Psalms 28. David said, "Lord, don't be silent to me, because if you're silent, I'm like those that go down to the pit." And I thought, I am glad the Lord does not give me the silent treatment. You ever had relatives give you the silent treatment? Yeah. It's like, I used to try to give Joy the silent treatment until she figured out what I was doing, then she would just ignore me. Then I'd go find her to show her that I'm still giving her the silent treatment. I'm the only one that's ever done that, so just pray for me, y'all. But the Lord won't give you the silent treatment. He'll help you. And if you'll just come and say, "Lord, help me on this, because I believe you're good. I believe you're the good shepherd. I believe you're not neutral towards me. I believe you're coming, you're leaning in my direction. I believe you're not disinterested," but here's the thing. How do you see him? Do you see him as not caring, or you see him as someone who really cares about your life and really wants you to do well? It's quiet, you thinking? It's good stuff to think about. How you see the Lord? Oof. I'll start this. We'll see if we finish it. There was a case of it's fairly well known in the Bible, about the parable of the talents. Remember that parable? Jesus tells a parable of a master. He comes, he gives his servants talents, three servants. He gives one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. Now, just while you're thinking, well, the one that got shorted, do you not realize the talent in today's money is about $300,000? So a talent was a lot. And so he said he gave them according to their ability. So he, in other words, he didn't give them more than they can handle. And then in Matthew 25, here's his response. He who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. So he invested, he took those talents, that money that for this guy is about $600,000, maybe a little bit more, invested it and doubled it. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. No, he said the very same thing to the guy with 5. He said the very same thing to the ones who just took it and doubled it. And so he didn't compare them. He didn't say, well, why didn't you do as good as the other guy? He just said, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the one guy who was a servant, he went and buried it. He buried his talent, buried all 300,000. So let's see, you got the next one. He also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a, watch out, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Now just stop. What is that? That's a thief. You reap where you didn't sow. You gather where you didn't scatter seed. You're a thief. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what's yours. Master was not happy. He said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and scatter where I gathered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. What I want you to catch tonight is you got 2 guys that took their talents and invested it, and the master rewarded them. But the one guy who took and hid it said, I knew you to be a hard man. Other translations say, I knew you to be harsh. And so I was afraid, and I took my talent and buried it. Now here's my question. How many people see Jesus maybe as being harsh? Or God is harsh? And so they're afraid to risk. They're afraid to ask. They're afraid to come to him. They're afraid because he's disappointed in them. Or they're afraid because they don't see him as someone who smiles at them. Maybe when you see Jesus, you see him looking at you like, because he knows everything you've done and you've been bad. And don't realize that if you ask him to forgive you, he's cleansed you and he forgets. He forgives and forgets. You ever heard someone say, well, I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you've done. That's not the Lord. It's gone. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Some of you think God still has a permanent record. When I was in school, they used to tell me, Mr. Clayton, that's going to go into your permanent record. So somewhere in North Carolina, there's a file with my permanent record of some of the jacked up things I did in high school. And it's in there because it's a permanent record. And some of you feel like that's what the Lord keeps with you. That when you come to him and go, Lord, I messed up. And he goes, for the 347th time you have messed up in this area, because your permanent record shows it right here. And you've judged him to be harsh. And so you're afraid to even have much of a relationship with him. Because he's hard. And he'll take from you instead of giving to you. And if you see him that way, man, it's hard. Why would you want a relationship? Well, yeah, I love the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. But I don't want to get him too involved in my life. Because if I get him involved in my life, he's going to make me do something. I know he's going to make me do something I don't want. He's going to make me marry somebody I can't stand. Go somewhere I don't want to go. Do something. You've judged him harsh. You've judged him hard. Instead of judging, he has got your best interest in mind. And if you'll trust him, he will bless your life. And if you'll serve him, he'll honor you. And he'll do wonderful things for you. Because he's not hard. He's good. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I don't know about you. I know very few people that would lay down their life for me. He's the only one. And I'm so grateful. Would you bow your head for a moment? Father, I pray for those right now who maybe have seen you as hard, seen Jesus as hard and harsh and not caring. And I ask, Father, that these words would stick, that the image of a good shepherd can rise up in them. Someone who loves them, someone who cares. Thank you for those of us who maybe have judged you as being disappointed with us. I ask, Father, that that image again begins to change. And we see you as a God who gave up his only son for us. How will he not with him also freely give us all things? So, Lord, thank you. You are far gooder than we've seen you. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and you said, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with God. I don't know where I stand with God, but I want to be sure. I kind of know, but I'm not confident. Or maybe you're like I was. You made a decision to receive the Lord, and for some way you just got way away from him. And you wonder if he even wants you back, and I'm going to go ahead and answer that for him. Yes, he does. So this is a great night to come back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, not going to have you stand up. But if that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I want to be confident where I am with the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up quick just across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. 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 Thank you. Thank you. His hands have gone up all over. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Wonderful. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand. You're thinking you missed your chance. You did not. This is a heart thing. And so I'm going to lead you into prayer. We're going to pray. If you're online, listen, if you're online, you can pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I saw hands go up and I saw hearts turn towards you. And I thank you that you've answered that prayer. Thank you, Father, for those who've stepped out of spiritual darkness into the light and for those who've stepped back into the light. Lord, I thank you that you'll confirm that in them, that you'll strengthen that in them, and that we stand with them as a church for their future in you. So, Lord, we give you all the praise for that. And for those of us who know you and love you and serve you, thank you. We can see you and even see more of you every day. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.